Is this the end? That's the question that I would like to deal with this evening. Someone asked this the other day of me, and it's a good and worthy question in light of the virus that is spreading around the world. Let's see if we can find an answer from the Bible without this evening doing a completely exhaustive study on it, but giving us a few thoughts from the Bible to think of concerning this. When I first began to weigh this question, I went to three different places my mind did in the Bible. And they're on the board behind me. In Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. All of these three passages are the Synoptic Gospels record of the Olivet Discourse. All right, the Olivet Discourse. And if you're familiar with that in the Scriptures, you know that the Olivet Discourse, Jesus in large part deals with the second coming, the coming of the Son of Man. I'll show you that if you'll look to verse 20 of chapter 24 in Matthew, even though we're going to spend most of our time tonight in Luke 21. All right, in Matthew 24, Jesus had told the disciples about the destruction of the temple in verse 2. And then following that in verse 3, it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, which is called, why it's called the Olivet Discourse, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? Look at their questions. And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So they viewed the words of Jesus in the first part of this chapter as being an indicator as to when the Son of Man was going to come back and when that age would end. All right. So that's where my mind went to begin with. And I began to ask myself, is the word pestilence found there? Because you remember, a pestilence is an epidemic disease. It's an epidemic disease that falls upon a people. It is a fatal epidemic disease. And we're seeing that in our country, even though everyone who gets the disease doesn't die from it, we are seeing a higher death rate from the COVID-19 than we do, say, such as the seasonal flu. So it could be a pestilence, or it could also be a calamity. A calamity is a disastrous event marked by great loss and lasting distress. So this could be certainly a calamity for our country and for the world. All right, so I asked myself, is pestilence spoken about in any of these? And if you look at Matthew 24, we will see in verse 7, it says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. We could go over to Mark chapter 13. And in Mark 13, verse 8, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles, which would be the word for pestilences. These are the beginnings of sorrows, all right? So because the way Luke 21 is laid out, I decided to go with that chapter in particular. All right, so let's look at this together. In verse 5 and 6, it says, then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he said, these things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. All right, so the setting is Jesus is with his disciples at the temple. The disciples are raving about how beautiful the temple is. And Jesus says, hey, every stone on this temple is going to be turned down. It's going to be overthrown. It's going to be thrown down. And it's going to be destroyed. He speaks about this destruction that's going to happen. And then the disciples asked, as we saw in Matthew 24, when will be the end of this age? When will be the coming of the Son of Man? If you look at verse 7 now in Luke 21. So they asked him, saying, teacher, but when will these things be, and what will be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? Okay. And Jesus begins to tell that in verse 8. And he said, take heed that you do not deceive yourselves. rather, take heed that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. Verse 10, then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines, and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Then verse 12, just the first part of it, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. This is divided up in this way. I see it in verses 8 through 11. Jesus kind of gives a general, sweeping, overall picture of what's going to happen from the time of the first century church all the way up until his coming. All right, and then at verse 12, Jesus begins to talk about what's going to happen to the first century church, or maybe particularly to the disciples, the apostles. I think it's both. Because that first generation church are the ones who would actually see the destruction of the temple in AD 70. Okay? You need to remember that if you've never heard that date before, kids, that in AD 70, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. So that would have been about 40 years after Jesus spoke these words. So that generation would have seen that happen. But verses 8 through 11 really talk about what's going to happen throughout history. In Matthew 24, verse 8, Jesus there referred to this as birth pains, all right, or sorrows. Verse 8, after he talked about the earthquakes and all those things that are going to happen, he says, all these are the beginning of sorrows, or the beginning of birth pains. The pains that would come upon a woman before she gives birth. In the world, we are seeing birth pains as all of these things are happening. Let me share some of those with you. You notice back up there in verse 9 that there's going to be wars and commotions. In verse 10, there's going to be nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Verse 11, there's going to be earthquakes in various places, famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs in the heaven or from heaven. All right, so all this stuff is going to be occurring from the time of the first century church all the way up until the end that Jesus returns. And this is the way it's been playing out. Just let me share this with you. So far in 2020, there have been 2,786 earthquakes already this year. And many of those, or most of those, fell under the category of a 4.0 to 4.9. That means the lower end of the Richter scale. Lower end of magnitude. In 2019, there were 12,973 earthquakes. Most of those were on the lower end of the scale. So there's thousands of earthquakes that are happening every year. Already this year, almost 2,800 of them have occurred. We don't know this because you haven't seen it in the news most likely, but in Utah, just last Wednesday, there was a 5.7 earthquake that brought a lot of destruction in one of the cities there. So, or in Utah. So there are earthquakes that are happening just all the time throughout the world. Jesus says that's going to happen. Concerning famines. So in Luke 21, we see Jesus talk about earthquakes. We see him talk about famines. There have been seven famines since 1998. There are two famines that are currently occurring in the world. In Yemen, there's a famine that has been happening since 2016. And in South Sudan, there's a famine that's been happening since 2017. Now, these are big deals and can really break the back of a society. So it's a major event when a famine occurs in a land. Pestilences, there's 19 that have occurred since 2010, all right, 19 pestilences. That's these plagues. If you look at that list of pestilences, the coronavirus is the most recent one on the list. It's the last one on the list. So there's nothing new. Every century, going all the way back as far as records hold, tell us that earthquakes have been happening, that famines have been occurring, that pestilences have been a part of society. So Jesus says that that's the way it's going to be. These are all birth pangs leading up to the second coming. So here's what happens in this passage if you look at it back in Luke 21. Jesus discusses this, verses 8 through 11, and then in verse 12, he begins to speak specifically to the first century believers, or included in that maybe the Jews who would experience the destruction of Jerusalem. And in verse 20, it says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near." So these things were going to happen, and happened in A.D. 70. Could it be fulfilled again at the end of the age? It absolutely could. But this passage seems to be lending itself to referring to the destruction in A.D. 70. Now, going to verse 25. Verse 25 says, "And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." So we see an intensification here of the events that are happening in nature. Even though we know Mother Nature is not in charge of this, these things, but Father God is. There is no Mother Nature, but there is Father God. Verse 26, "Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." This sounds a lot like Revelation chapter 6. If you want to turn there, you can. But Revelation 6 says this, verse 12, "And I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the rocks and mountains, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Going back to Luke 21, it says, "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken." And then verse 27, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." So these cataclysmic events in the world, in the heavens and on the earth, are going to occur, and men's hearts are going to be failing them, and it is at that time that Christ will return. And he says in verse 28, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh." So for the believer, for the disciple of Christ, when these things begin to happen, we don't see them and our hearts begin to fail, but we see them and we say, Christ is returning. And we look forward to his return, and we look forward to it with anticipation. There's a blessing for all those who look forward to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone who loves the Lord will look forward to his return. Now, verse 29 through 33 says, "Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourself that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." So Jesus used the illustration of the tree budding, and when it buds, you know that summer's drawing near. Just like we're seeing now, leaves sprouting on a tree, we know summer's drawing near. He's telling his people, as you see the things happening, throughout history, when you see these birth pangs, and then when you see the events of the end occurring, then we need to realize that the fulfillment of Christ's words is taking place. All right. Now, in verse 32, there's a kind of a unusual verse right there, because he says, "I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place." What does that mean? Because that's weird. Did he mean the first century church, that they would not pass away until all of this is fulfilled, until he returns? That doesn't make sense. So let me give you about three options. One option is to view the word that is used here for generation as to speak about the people of the Jews, and that the Jews will not pass away, that they will be preserved throughout history until Christ returns. All right, the second view of this is that Jesus is talking about that generation in that day who would have heard his words and who would have experienced the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. The third view is that the generation that is alive when all of these things begin to happen in the last of the last days, there are signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity and the seas and waves roaring. That generation who sees those things happen will not pass away until it's all fulfilled. So those are the three views of that verse. You can decide which you believe is best and makes the most sense. The latter of the three is the one that I would understand that verse by. But what are we to do in light of this? Verse 34 tells us, as it does every generation that follows Christ. Verse 34, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Let me just point out here in verse 34 that this verse and verse 36 tells us what we are to be doing as the church today, because every one of us can have our hearts weighed down with carousing. That's the idea of partying, celebration. We'd much rather laugh than mourn. We'd much rather celebrate the things we have in this world rather than mourn over our sin and to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we would all do well to examine our hearts to see where we are carousing, where there is drunkenness. Again, that would go back to absorbing the things that this world has to offer. It's a literal drunkenness, but it's also absorbing the things that this world has to offer and being drunken with the world rather than having hearts that are pursuing the Lord and lives that are pursuing the Lord, diligently seeking him. Okay, so drunkenness and then the cares of this life. You know, we can be much more concerned about our money, about our possessions, about our freedoms, rather than being concerned about the Lord. And that's one of the beautiful things about this pestilence, the COVID-19 that we are facing in the world today, is that for the church, every one of us, it should wake us up and it should cause us to see the plague of our own heart, like 1 Kings 8 talks about. And in seeing that plague, we should see that we really love carousing. We love to be drunken by the things that this world offers. We love the cares of this life, and our hearts are weighed down by it. And this thing that we're facing today, maybe it will cause us to wake up and repent of some of these things and to begin to watch and pray, seeking the Lord and looking for the Lord's return. So the answer to the question, is this the end? The answer to that is it could be. Because it could be that this is the end of the birth pangs and that the end is now coming. We don't know that for sure, though. However, we do know that it could come. The events that surround the coming of the Lord could begin to happen at any time. And we as the church do not want to be weighed down, our hearts to be weighed down by the cares of this life. So we should do what? We should watch, we should pray. As verse 36 says, watch therefore and pray always. For what? That we may be counted worthy to escape all these things and to come, that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, you might read that verse and think, hey, we can escape it. We don't have to face any of these hard things. I don't think that's what the passage is talking about. Here's what I would ask you to do if you'd like to look at further study, because my time is up. But there's a couple of passages that you can turn to. The first one is in 1 Thessalonians. I'll write them down here. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-11. And then 1 John 2:28-3:3. All right. And those passages right there, 1 Thessalonians and 1 John, and there are others, but I'm just going to give you those, are passages that should help us to see what it means to be prepared for the Lord's return. All right? Because there's really nothing in Scripture that's going to teach us that we're going to be taken out of here and not face some of the difficulties that come in the latter day. But that we are, but the Scripture does say that he who endures unto the end shall be saved, and that we are purifying ourselves even as he is pure, so that when he returns, we will be ready for him. So read those passages, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 John 2. Don't want to get into end time views in particular during this at all, but really just bring our hearts back to seeing the truth of our responsibility to be watching and praying and not being carousing with the world. Now, to answer the question again, is this the end? And the answer is, it very well could be. Because we live in the last days, we have since the first century. These are the last days, and then at some point, it's going to be the last days of the last days, and Christ will return at that time, and we want to be ready. Love you, church. Lord bless you. Have a great prayer time tonight. Some of the things that would be good for us to pray about are as follows. Be praying for God's glory in his church and in the world. Be praying for our medical care workers. Be praying for Christian families to be biblical families, that maybe this calamity will cause us to be that. Pray for our authorities. Pray for the salvation of the lost, that the Lord would add to his church those who are being saved. Pray for faithfulness of the church. Pray for our students who've had their lives disrupted like all of us have. Pray for them that their faith would grow during this time, and that maybe even some would come to believe in the Lord for the first time. Pray for employers and employees, small business owners, and really just for all of our families. Let's pray for one another. I hope you have a great prayer time tonight. Just keep in mind this passage that we've studied. I pray it'll be a benefit to you, help shape your thinking during these days. The Lord bless you.